Tallon stood in silence a long moment, wondering what to do next. Okay, Tallon sighed. Apparently the Fisher theory makes no sense. But we saw bioluminescence in the water. The only conclusion is that it's not a closed environment after all. I realize much of your ice dating data is built on the premise that the glacier is a solid block, but...
Premise?
Nora was obviously getting agitated. Remember, this was not just my data, Mike. NASA made the same findings. We all confirmed this glacier is solid. No cracks. Tallon glanced across the dome toward the crowd gathered around the press conference area. Whatever is going on, I think, in good faith, we need to inform the administrator and...
This is bullshit,
Nora hissed. I'm telling you, this glacial matrix is pristine. I am not about to have my core data questioned by a salt lick and some absurd hallucinations. She stormed over to a nearby supply area and began collecting some tools. I'll take a proper water sample and show you this water contains no saltwater plankton, living or dead. Rachel and the others looked on as Nora used a sterile pipette on a string to harvest a water sample from the melt pool. Nora placed several drops in a tiny device that resembled a miniature telescope. Then she peered through the oculus, pointing the device toward the light emanating from the other side of the dome. Within seconds, she was cursing.
Jesus Christ!
Nora shook the device and looked again.
Damn it! Something's got to be wrong with this refractometer. Salt water?
Corky gloated. Nora frowned.
Partial. It's registering 3% brine, which is totally impossible. This glacier is a snowpack. Pure fresh water. There should be no salt.
Nora carried the sample to a nearby microscope and examined it. She groaned.
Plankton?
Tallon asked.
G. polyhedra,
she replied, her voice now sedate. It's one of the planktons we glaciologists commonly see in the oceans under ice shelves. She glanced over at Tallon.
They're dead now.
Obviously, they didn't survive long in a 3% saltwater environment. The four of them stood in silence a moment beside the deep shaft. Rachel wondered what the ramifications of this paradox were for the overall discovery. The dilemma appeared minor when compared to the overall scope of the meteorite, and yet, as an intel analyst, Rachel had witnessed the collapse of entire theories based on smaller snags than this.
What's going on over here?
The voice was a low rumble. Everyone looked up. The bearish frame of the NASA administrator emerged from the dark.
Minor quandary with the water in the shaft, Tallon said. We tried to sort it out.
Corky sounded almost gleeful.
Nora's ice data is screwed.
Bite me twice,
Nora whispered. The administrator approached, his furry eyebrows lowering.
What's wrong with the ice data?
Tallon heaved an uncertain sigh.
We're showing a 3% saltwater mix in the meteorite shaft, which contradicts the glaciology report that the meteorite was encased in a pristine freshwater glacier.
He paused.
There's also plankton present.
Ekstrom looked almost angry.
Obviously, that's impossible. There are no fissures in this glacier. The pod scans confirm that. This meteorite was sealed in a solid matrix of ice.
Rachel knew Ekstrom was correct. According to NASA's density scans, the ice sheet was rock solid. Hundreds of feet of frozen glacier on all sides of the meteorite. No cracks. And yet, as Rachel imagined how density scans were taken, a strange thought occurred to her.
In addition, Ekstrom was saying, Dr. Manger's core samples confirm the solidity of the glacier.
Exactly,
Norris said, tossing the refractometer on a desk.
Double corroboration. No fault lines in the ice, which leaves us no explanation whatsoever for the salt and plankton.
Actually,
Rachel said, the boldness of her voice surprising even herself,
there is another possibility.
The brainstorm had hit her from the most unlikely of memories. Everyone was looking at her now, their skepticism obvious.
Rachel smiled. There's a perfectly sound rationale for the presence of salt and plankton. She gave Tallon a wry look. And frankly, Mike, I'm surprised it didn't occur to you.